Chapter 10. A Letter from Mrs. Catherick.
Sir, I have heard the news. He is dead, and you made it happen. I am very grateful that he is gone, and I owe you something for what you have done. I do not have much to offer, but I can at least give you answers to the many questions you probably still have. In 1827, I was a beautiful woman with a stupid husband, who was the clerk of Welmingham Church. At that time, a gentleman we both know started to give me expensive presents. Of course, he wanted something from me in return. One day, he asked me to secretly get him the keys to the vestry when my husband was away from Welmingham. I liked getting presents, so I got him the keys, but I watched him carefully. I saw that he was making plans to write in the marriage register. I knew it was wrong, but what harm did it do me, or anyone else? So I told him that I would allow him to write in the register as long as he told me his reasons. And, of course, as long as he gave me more presents. He agreed. I will write here what he told me. Although his father was a baronet, the gentleman's parents had never been married. They could not marry because his mother was already married to a man in Ireland. That man had treated her badly, and she had run away and then met his father. Because of this, his parents decided to go and live their lives quietly abroad. So, when his mother and father both died, this man could not, in law, inherit anything at all. Sir Percival Glyde returned to England immediately, started to call himself a baronet, and moved into the old family house. But of course, he could not borrow money because he did not have the correct documents, including a certificate or proof of his parents' marriage. And that is why he came to Welmingham and to the church. He studied the marriage register and found a space at the bottom of one of the pages in a year and month, 9 months or so before he was born. He then carefully forged a new entry in that space, which appeared to record his parents' marriage. As you correctly suspected, I was not having a relationship with that man. However, everyone thought I was, including my husband. I asked Glyde to speak to my husband and tell him that the stories about us were not true, but he refused. Of course, he was happy for everyone to think I was not honest. Who would be friends with me or believe anything I said after all this? I was furious, and I said that I would tell everyone his full story. His reply was short and cold. If I told anyone, then I would be in as much trouble as him. He said that I was his accomplice in a very serious crime. He said he would pay me a good amount of money each year, but only as long as I kept the secret and agreed never to leave the village without asking him first. I hated him with all my heart, but I was terrified, and so I agreed. What else could I do? I was about to have a baby, and I had no other way of surviving. I needed his money. A few months after all of this, Anne was born. She was a worry and a problem to me from the beginning, with her mental health issues and strange ways. Mrs. Clements looked after her most of the time, but sometimes Anne lived with me. Once I received a letter from that gentleman, and something he wrote in it made me angry. Without thinking, in front of Anne, I said, "That evil man! I could ruin his life if I chose to tell people his secret." The next day, he suddenly appeared at my house. When he saw Anne, he angrily said, "Get that idiot out of the room." He had never liked her, and she had never liked him. She stared at him and did not leave. "Say sorry to me now," she said to him, "or you will regret it. I could ruin your life if I chose to tell people your secret." She had repeated exactly what I had said, but as though the words were hers. I tried to tell him that she did not really know the secret, but he was furious. He said that he was going to shut Anne up in an asylum. He would not listen to me, and I could not change his mind. So I demanded that she should at least go to a private asylum, not one for poor people. And that is what happened. In many ways, it was a good thing. She was well looked after there, and I did not have to worry about her anymore. From that time onwards, Anne thought of nothing else but how much she hated him, and about the secret. But she never actually knew what the secret was. Do not ever mention this letter to me. I will not talk about it, and will deny ever having written it. The evidence of the crime itself has been destroyed in the fire, but I must still be careful.